Good morning, church. It's good being here again after the Christmas festivities and God's help to us in our church life. We bless God for laying to rest of our mom, grandmom, and sister to the family of the the surname has gone away from me now. yes. and then we thank God for how the Lord has been leading us as a church, how He's comforted us on every side. I want to bless God for that. Today, as the year goes to an end, what as a person I would have loved to do is just to have, I know that in the new year we have a session in which all of us are going to be saying the things God has done in our lives and the how we've seen the hand of God in the current year 2025. So I would have just wanted a time in which everybody in an uncoordinated way just bless God and say what God has done and how we have seen the hand of God. However, today I am to tie up our study on the fruit of the Spirit. That's what I'm to do today. For the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the title. We started by looking at being church. From there, we went to look at the gifts of the Spirit, those enablements that the Holy Spirit gives to each and every one of us as believers. But as we were looking at that, we saw that there is a power, that there is a background, there's a nuclear reactor which produces the gifts of the Spirit, which is this capacity of the Spirit in us, which is the fruit of the Spirit, that a man can do so much gifts, but what makes the man truly a blessing is by the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in the person's life. Shall we have a word of prayer, please? Father, we ask this day as we look into your word that you grant blessings to us. Father, let the basis of our faith grow, that conviction that this is the way. Father, let it be strengthened. And let particular words come to different persons that will strengthen us, carry us as we go through the remaining of this 2025, and we look forward to 2026. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. So, we have looked at Galatians chapter 5 from verse 13 to 25. We've looked at Galatians chapter 5 from verse 13 to 25. And we looked there, we saw where the works of the flesh were listed. And it now says, but let's go, this is the fruit of the Spirit. And we've seen the different listings of the fruit of the Spirit. So in conclusion, I want to say, why did we choose as a church, or why must you as a person, as a believer, look at the fruit of the Spirit? Why should I, as a person, why should you look at the fruit of the Spirit? In conclusion, one of the reasons, the first, is that the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that through God's exceeding promises, we have been made partakers of God's divine nature. that through God's exceeding promises, 2 Peter chapter 2, no, chapter 1, verse 4, says through God's exceeding promises, he has made us partakers of his divine nature. So I don't just go around and say, I have the nature of God. What is that nature that I share with God? Through God's these exceeding promises, what are this nature that I share with God? So we saw in that scripture that we have been made partakers of God's divine nature. Second, we need to know the nature of God. If I have, they say, okay, you look like your father. It's good enough to know that I look like my father. But what are the attributes of this father that I look like? In what ways do I resemble him? So we look at the nature of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, the invisible things of God are made manifest through the things that are seen. To me, everybody said nobody has seen God at any time. But the scripture says that those things that are invisible of God that we cannot perceive, we can draw knowledge through the obvious things in our environment. Some people feel Christianity is dull, unexciting, colorless. How can it be when God created flowers of the field that are in different colors, pink, purple, yellow, green, and white and blue? If God created the grass and the flowers to be colorful, why would God be pale, uninteresting, unexciting, and drab and dull? No, it couldn't be. We could learn from about who God is through the things that God created. So that scripture says the invisible things of God are made manifest by the things that are seen. The third reason why we need to look at why we looked at the fruit of the Spirit, the reason why as a church we looked, is that the character of the Spirit are the attributes of the person of God and as revealed in Jesus. This fruit of the Spirit that we are talking about, they are the character of God that are revealed in Jesus. So, when we looked at that fruit of the Spirit and said, now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness. These attributes are also the attributes, they are the attributes of God, and Jesus mirrored them to us when he came. So, and that we can see in John chapter 14, verse 8 to 9. John chapter 14, from verse 8 to 9. Philip said, can you show us the Father? We want to see him. Philip said to Jesus, please show us the Father. You have been telling us the Father, my Father, the Father. Please show us the Father. And if you read the book of John chapter 14, verse 8 to 9, I will read that particularly. John chapter 14, 8 to 9. John chapter 14, 8 to 9 says, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Anybody that has seen Jesus, that has interacted with Jesus, we can draw that this is the Father. These are the attributes of the Father. And even though I would not go there, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, says, Jesus, God, who has spoken to our fathers in times past through the prophets and through the prophets as in these last days, spoken to us through his Son, Jesus, who is the express image of God's person. God spoke to us in time past through the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, Jesus, who is the express image of God's person. I hope that is, no, I think that is Hebrews chapter 1. I don't think it is Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. It is Hebrews chapter 1. From verse 1 to 2, somebody should please confirm for me, Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 1 to 2. Yes, thank you, not Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 1 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. So we saw there that Jesus is the express image of God's personality. So if we study the fruit of the Spirit, which is the character of God, it became expressed to us in Jesus. So this afternoon, I want us to do something that maybe we have not, we don't usually do, or that is not my style. I want us to look to identify the gifts of the Spirit, and each and every one of us that are seated there to give me an example in the scriptures where Jesus demonstrated one of these gifts of the Spirit. So the floor is going to be opened for the next 10 minutes. Where each and every one of us, you don't need to bother whether you know where it is in the scriptures or not. If you know the story, don't worry. If you know the scripture, give it to me. So I will go now to read that the gift, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, or that scripture says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. It ended by saying, against such, there is no law. If the Holy Spirit helps you to live your life according to this tenet, you will not break the law of the United Kingdom, neither the law of the United States or the law of Korea or Nigeria. You would not have broken any law because you would love your neighbor as yourself, and you will love God with all your heart if you do all this. So the floor is open. I'm ready to receive. So do you want to show me a place in the scripture where Jesus demonstrated love, demonstrated joy, demonstrated peace, demonstrated long suffering, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Yes. Oh, sorry, gentleness. I skipped that. How? Sorry. Self-control. Yes. Okay. The ball is in our court. A story, an instance in the scripture where any of this is exemplified. Because we said, in my thesis, I said, the fruits of the Spirit, they are in scripture, in the scripture. Yes, yes, we can console. Thank you very much. In Matthew, in the early books of Matthew chapter 7, thereabout, Jesus said, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry and he was led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. He was legitimately hungry. It's human to be hungry. And the devil said, make these stones to become bread. Somebody may say, so what's the big deal about turning stones to bread? If not that we know in the book of 2 Peter that the scripture says, ye are lively stones. When we are talking about stones in the scripture, it represents humans. It represents the building blocks of the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, no, you can't floor me by that because I'm in this intense moment of hunger and need. Thank you very much. That is one instance.
So gentleness.
Self-control. Okay, gentleness.
When he touched the lady, when the lady touched his robe and growled.
He showed gentleness.
He showed gentleness.
Hmm? When
woman with the issue of the
blood. Oh, good. The scripture said that there were so many people around him. And he said, somebody touched me. And Peter said, what kind of this man? You're so weird. How can 500 people be around you struggling around you? And he said, somebody touched me. He said, no, I know what I'm talking about. And the woman came out. I said, I'm the one. He did in time, Parasa. He said, yes, your faith has made you whole. Even in that boisterous, noisy, celebrity kind of environment, he still had the time to undo this woman. Thank you.
Could you say, for love and long suffering, he died for us?
Yeah. For love. Okay, the process of dying for us, also we can take that for long suffering, but his love, the scripture says God loved the world, he sent his son. However, it's like you sent me on an errand. The errand became so burdensome in the garden of in Gethsemane, and it was like, Father, you're asking me to do what you have not done before. You've not died before. We have not, the divinity has not gone through the process of death. So this is, sin is on me. I've not sinned before. Yes, I can bear that. But now I will die. I go through a process that we've not gone through before. But his love for us and humanity made him to say, not my will, but your will be done. It was his love that compelled him to do that. Okay, that's an example. We can cite multiple examples of different. Okay, some people from that corner.
Compassion. So, I don't particularly have, even though I remember the feeding of the 5,000, but there are several instances where when Jesus was about to perform a miracle or he was about to help, the Bible would say he had compassion. And I think compassion, kindness.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Matthew chapter, Mark chapter 10, verse 14. When you look at it at Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, kindness.
One example, Jesus said, allow the little children to come to me. Even though he's supposed to be, we're adults, we're talking serious theological business, yeah, where he was showing, talking to the doctors of the law, where in such scenario, he said, keep the children out. We are doing serious business here. But the disciples wanted to keep the children away. He said, allow the children to come to me. He had that kindness demonstrated and compassion. Example. One example of compassion was when they were bringing, he was going one day and he saw a crowd coming out. And they were carrying the corpse of a guy that died, whose mom had only him. The scripture said Jesus had compassion on that procession, touched the bearer and the boy stood up. And the mom was glad that her son was given back to her from that state. Okay? I'm still waiting. You got something?
Could you also say for faith? The centurion's daughter died had faith that if he just says your daughter will be healed, that he just said that you should stay here and just say that your daughter will be healed and she got healed.
Okay. Even though that example did not show Jesus, the faith that is written there is faithfulness. However, I would take that to mean Jesus operated in an environment of faith. Faith in people, express faith in his ability. I need to express faith. He could recognize faith in people. People, that man, like you said, I know if you send your word, the word will heal my daughter. And Jesus commended to say, in this atmosphere of faith, then miraculous can happen. Other fruits of the Spirit, the examples in Scripture.
You know, Jesus fed the 5,000. He was showing generosity, kindness, and faith in himself that he could do it.
Thank you. The disciples said, sir, it's already like 7 p.m. This is 5,000, 7,000 people. Let's allow them to go. It's going to get dark. Let's release these people. And Jesus said, no. Make them to sit down and give them food. Sir, do you know what you are saying? We are not talking about Seventh King's Church population. We are talking about 5,000 people, not counting women and children. And somebody said, most places when you see a woman, you will likely see a child or two or sometimes three, but let's just assume one child like that. So that means that population will likely be like 10,000, 12,000 people. And he said, no, don't let them go. Because of his compassion, he said, let them sit down, and that made us see the miracle of the feeding of 5,000. It was not that he wanted to show. I said, yeah, you guys will know who I really am. It was the compassion that was drawing out the miracle. It was not that today I'm going to heal the woman with the issue of blood. At least, if we are divinely, he knew he would do it. But if we are following it as humans, it was not like staged that in church today this will happen. But his compassion drew the virtue out of him towards the woman with the issue of blood. The compassion drew out the feeding of 5,000. The compassion drew that. Thank you, sir. That's a good example. Any other examples?
Could we say peace when he slept in the boat while there was a storm?
Yes.
And his disciples woke him up.
Yes. That who is this that is sleeping through? That is sleeping through situation. An inviter says, faith can sink through days of sorrow, all will be well. We can go through these challenges. It is not reckless abandonment. No, it is not that it is, it wasn't unconcerned. No, but it was peaceful. He knew I've got there's something bigger for me to do. I cannot die before my time. So the disciples came and said, Master, are you not careful that we perish? And he said, oh, ye of little faith. He spoke to the wind, and the wind heard him. But there was a state of inner calmness and peace that is God. These are demonstrations of Jesus's demonstration of the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit through Jesus. I will take like one long suffering. Do you know that in John chapter 12, verse 6, a woman came to Jesus and took a very precious ointment, broke it on Jesus, and Judas Iscariot was there. And he said, what a waste. This old ointment is valued, let's even say, even if it is 300 pounds. You bought a perfume that is 300 pounds. So what? It's a whole day's worth, a whole week worth of salary of someone. And you just poured it and wasted it. The scripture says, it could have been, he said, that money could have been given to the poor. But John chapter 12, verse 6 said, he said that not because he cared for the poor, but because he was stealing from the poor. So did you think Jesus did not know that he was stealing from the poor? He knew. So that's why we need to really understand who this Jesus is. Jesus knew he was stealing from the poor. Jesus could accommodate his weakness and be telling him of the kingdom of God, the possibility of a change, and allow him to see the miracles, and allow him to be with him in his closest moment, to allow him the personal responsibility of crying for a change. If you are with Jesus and you saw a personal weakness in your life, it is your personal responsibility to take it to Jesus. Jesus will not force a change on us. It is our personal responsibility. And it was with Jesus stealing from him up until the day that he now said, we will offer you 30 pieces of silver to betray him, and he still collected that money.
Yes.
That are attributes of him, but on Jesus' part, it was long suffering on Jesus. Jesus' part. But on Judas Iscariot's part, it was unfortunate.
Okay, Ma. Yes.
When Jesus walked on the water.
Hmm. Jesus walking on water, an example of faith, faithfulness, faith. So if we flip it, now, some people say to be faithful is to be full of faith. If we take that literal transposition of the word, sorry to the English people here, if we translate faithful to mean full of faith, then we will say Jesus is walking on water. He's an example of demonstrating that we could actually live to greater potentials. Of somebody says, so what's the difference between a believer? What special thing does Christianity gives you? What Christianity gives us is the ability to do the normal things that people do in a supernatural way. In a supernatural way, the normal things people do in a supernatural way, or to do supernaturally, to do normally things that are supposed to be supernatural. To walk in health, we can take the help of God, the grace of God, even if you are here today and you have a particular health challenge, you will see that there are a retinue of challenges that a person could have that you don't have. One day I slept and I woke up and I felt a pain in my shoulders. And I felt, okay, maybe it's just one of those things. I just felt, let me rotate the shoulder to feel, maybe it's just a little sprain. I want to get it back into motion. I rotated the shoulder and I felt a pain I'd never felt before. I couldn't lift the hand. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't. You take it for granted that just lift your hand. You take it for granted. But I couldn't lift that. I couldn't do that. To know that this, our small body, this our body that we feel, I just do the thing, normal thing. It's not so normal to be able to do some of the things we do. But we live in God's ability and grace to be able to do the things we do. Even though you may have one health challenge, some people have 17, some people have degenerating, some people have this. So the fact that you can stand up and give God glory and thank Him for the health that you have in the form that you have it, it's worth thanking God for. And as I'm preparing to close, we will see that another example of faithfulness was Jesus said to the woman that was at the well, He said, my meat, John chapter 4, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish it. My people said, is He not hungry? When we left, He was hungry. But He said, what I am about is to do and to finish the will of Him that sent me. I place that, finishing what He sent me to do, above my normal need of food. And I see to it that I finish that. And that accounts for Him for faithfulness. When we sing about Him, we sing of the gentle Savior, gentle shepherd, who could have as much time to spend with a woman at the well who's got five husbands, and to have a special time with a man in whom there was legion of demons, and could also have enough time with a crowd of people that are thronging him, that are pressing against him. So gentleness in the way he handled everyone that came to him, whether people call them sinners or they call them saints. The only people that Jesus did not spare were the so-called religious people of his days, who were supposed to know better, who were supposed to show people the right way, but they were clouding people's way from knowing Christ, from knowing God, from following God, because they have made themselves into institutions that shielded people. So with these few words today, I hope we've been able to see that the fruit of the Spirit that we studied in church mirrors the life of God, mirrors the life of Christ, and each and every one of us will have this divine ability given to us to live it out. Shall we pray together? I want you to talk to God. If there is one thing the Holy Spirit has dropped in your heart, if there is something that God has challenged you with, if there's a way the word has blessed you this morning, do you want to talk to God about it? Do you want to say, Lord, thank you for sending your word to me? Thank you for this. Is it an encouragement? Is it a challenge? Is it a command? Is it life? Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We thank you because you're good and your mercies endures forever. Thank you for sending us your word today. The Bible says the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Thank you because this word, Jesus said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They have the capacity to produce life in you. They have the capacity to quicken you. They have the capacity to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. These words have the capacity to lift you above your limitations. These words have the capacity to strengthen you. Father, I lift up everyone here today to you. I ask for strength for each and every one of us. I ask for life into every weakness, every sickness, every pain. Lord, we ask that as you removed pain while you were here, how you called forth out of darkness, you called life out of darkness when you were here. The example of the woman whose son died, and you brought him back to life. The scripture, the example, one example, Jesus wept. The scripture said concerning Lazarus, he had been dead for 3 days, four. And when Jesus got there, the Bible says he wept. The people said, oh, he loved him because he wept. And the scripture made us know, you changed that situation. Lord, I pray every situation in church this morning, every situation that needs your intervention, every situation that needs your change, every situation that needs your breath, Lord, I command your breath into these situations in the name of Jesus. I command life into these situations in the name of Jesus. We receive health, wellness, grace to do beyond our limitations. In Jesus' name, amen.